Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were. Yes, finally we get you introducing it, and that's what you chose to do. Okay. All right. There you go. It took how many episodes? And I am your co-host, E.K. Wimmer.
Oh, do you want my name? You're pointing.
Well, yeah, we've done this so many times.
Well, my parents call me Mariah Rose Wimmer.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to call you. So, welcome to another episode.
I really hope you edit down this intro.
Painful to get through. Yikes.
It's 19 minutes long.
This week we are talking our first anime. We haven't done one yet, have we?
No.
No. We're going to do a few. We have a few
yes?
lined up.
No?
Yeah.
Maybe so.
This is an absolute staple, though, that everybody should watch. If you want to know the classics, you should definitely have seen this one by now. But before we jump into it, we'll do our thrift store finds of the week.
Oh, I know one.
Okay.
You found it, but I'm going to claim it.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Because I told you it existed. Electric Grandmother.
Oh, yeah. The good one. I totally forgot about that, too. We will cover it. We already have it scheduled in.
Oh, yeah.
I assume nobody has seen it.
If you haven't, you are shameful, and go watch it now.
Okay, so it's a Ray Bradbury novel. However,
who cares? Just watch the movie.
But it's the movie, and this is interesting because you've talked about it for so many years. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it, still haven't.
Ooh.
But we're just going to put that out there into the Laser Graves world that we will be covering it soon, and I'm very excited to watch it.
I think, actually, I don't really recall it. I remember sarcophagus and an old woman brushing her hair. And in my memory, I remember thinking as a child, I'm going to have long hair as an old lady. Because every old lady I knew had short hair.
I would like to think of this as one of your memories, because I love when we go off of your your childhood favorites. Remember when we did Yahoo Sirius's, what was that?
We didn't cover it here, thank goodness.
Young Frankenstein?
Yeah.
No,
Young Einstein.
Oh, and you were like, I love this movie. It's so amazing.
It was hilarious when I was nine.
We rented it again, and I don't even know if we got like 15 minutes into it.
We watched the whole thing.
No, we did not.
Because we got past the cats and the pies, and that's near the end.
I will guarantee you we did not finish that movie.
I will fight you. You fell asleep because I watched it.
I don't fall asleep during movies. I think I just said no.
No, we watched it.
It was a long time ago,
but we watched it.
It was so bad. So every time you're like, oh, I love this from my childhood, I'm like, okay.
You're like, Yahoo Sirius.
Yeah, we'll go into this. We'll tiptoe into this one.
We should cover that. That would be hilarious.
No, we shouldn't. But I'm very excited about the Electric Grandmother. I think it's going to be awesome.
Okay, what's your thrift store find?
I've had a few, but I don't buy DVDs very often. However, I found one of Nightbreed, Clive Barker's Nightbreed.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you know what? The odds of me finding this on VHS is pretty slim, and I really like this movie, and I've been wanting to watch it. So then we went to the library because our daughter wanted to check out a movie. And in the front of the library, they had a little free cart, and I started looking through it, and what I found was a novel by Clive Barker as well. And I was like, oh, that's weird, because I just picked up Nightbreed, but I've never read a Clive Barker book. Have you?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay. Well, this one's from 85, maybe? And I was like, sweet. So I think we'll cover this. Dude.
Sweet.
But what's mine say?
Sweet.
Okay. I'll edit all that out.
Dude.
Okay. and no end. So I found this book, and I thought, yeah, you're welcome, everybody, for that. Anyway, I found this book, and I thought, awesome, we can do a Clive Barker book. We've never done one. And it's a series of
57.
It's like five short stories called The Inhuman Condition, I think. And so
clever.
I think we should do it soon because I really want to read it.
Clever Barker.
Mm-hmm. His other name.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my thrift store find.
Sweet.
Dude. All right, let's get into it.
Oh, yes.
This week is Vampire Hunter D. Wow, this is a great one.
I took extensive notes.
I'm sure. Oh, were you being serious?
I really did.
I can
look
never
how
tell with
look
you.
How small my writing is.
Oh, it's so small.
And I didn't fall asleep. Let me shuffle through the papers.
You didn't fall asleep. However, it was like 80 minutes. So good for you. There's an accomplishment.
Hey, dude. Sweet.
All right, Vampire Hunter D. It was directed by Toyo Ishida in 1985, and we have. There's a couple different versions. There's the Japanese version that is not overdubbed. Then there's the 1985 version that we have that is dubbed. And then there was a reissue, which I thought was kind of effed up, was they did another version with new voice actors for the American audience.
Mm-hmm.
I find that kind of sacrilegious. Like,
I think that's the first one I saw, honestly.
Really? Mm-hmm. With the other voices?
I think so.
I've never seen it.
Could be wrong. I don't know.
I had a strong feeling about that. Is this is done with? This is over and done with. Why would you redo all the voices
to get more money?
I guess. But the one we have is a really cool VHS copy. Actually, ours. We'll post it on our Instagram. But it's got this awesome sticker that says "Not for Kids," and it has like a kid's face with a no sign over
it. It's true. It is not for kids.
Yeah, but it's not like a perfect blue or something like that. I mean, it's.
But I would not want my children to see this until they were.
Yeah,
at
I'll want
least
them to see it at
older.
A later point.
Yes.
So we watched our VHS version of it, and it was fun. I haven't seen this in several years. When was the last time you saw it?
I can't remember. It's been a very long time.
I think it's been a few years for me, for sure. But I've seen it a lot. I don't know. What's your story with this? Did you watch it as a kid?
I watched it in high school. I definitely wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have had access to it as like a young kid. But I would say in high school, it was one of those staples that always somebody was like, oh, have you seen Vampire Hunter D?
Yeah, it was all the Akira, Vampire Hunter D, Wicked City, like all those must-haves. And yeah, that was in the batch. When you go through, like when you discover anime, this is one of the ones you have to watch.
Yeah, it's one of the first.
Mine was, I think it was probably high school too, or junior high, I would say. Yeah. It was definitely junior high because I had a couple friends that were really into this and they showed it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I didn't watch it again. I think I only watched it once. And then I watched it again when we started dating.
Mm-hmm.
We watched this and then we watched the part two, or I think it's a part two. It's called Vampire Hunter D, like Bloodlust or Bloodlines or something like that. Do you remember
I
that?
I vaguely recall that. Yeah,
I don't remember what
that
it's called.
That was during the phase when we were in high school and we'd raid my dad's weird coin jar and we would go buy a Sonic drink and we would buy burritos and go out to your parents' house. It was
like
your
we'd
house.
Rent a movie at Hastings.
Yeah.
And
so it was like a total of $3 in change that I would steal from my dad. And he knew I would do it, so he would always stock me up with this change. It was really sweet.
Your dad's cool.
Yeah.
I think that was the next time I had seen it. And then I saw it a few times after that, but it was good to watch this. I'm glad that it's been a bit of a time because podcasting, when you're watching something in podcasting, you see it very differently.
Well, because you have to remember all the details. I noticed a lot of things. I don't know if you did. That I had maybe never really paid much attention to in previous viewings.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
So we both have an experience with it. However, it was fun to revisit. It starts right away. Beautiful. I mean, the animation's awesome on this. It's so beautifully done.
It's pretty good.
It's got this opening shot of like a moon, and then it's following this young woman like running through a field, and the score already. I don't know why the score doesn't get talked about more, but it's a great one. classic kind of 80s score, mm-hmm. and very horror synth is what I would say. It's not Carpenter style, but it's like classic horror synth of yeah. the time. I loved it. The opening scene, because it's been a few years, I was like, man, yeah, I'm so glad we chose to watch this.
Yeah, so it does start with a moon. There's a castle, like, in silhouette. And we also learn there's some words explaining that it's set in the distant future and there's, like, dark creatures and stuff like that. And we see a girl walking through the grass, like, long grasses. She's wearing... it's either a longish shirt or a short dress, but it's like you can basically just see her butt cheeks as she's walking through the grass.
Not her butt cheeks, but her underwear. It reminds me of like Robin Hood's outfit, where it's basically like a shirt with a belt.
Yep.
And an underwear.
And so she's also wearing a cross necklace. She's carrying a weapon, and she comes across like a red-eyed monster in the grass. So she turns on some UV lights or something. I assume they're UV lights because they're kind of bright and like purpley.
Yeah, it was like a trap.
Yeah, and then she shoots at the monster and chases it down on horseback, and she kills it. But it like kind of is half dead and also attacks the horse. And then a wolf, like a werewolf, comes and just carries her horse off. So she's
I think it, that creature is the werewolf. I think it morphs into a werewolf and takes it off. It's that opening scene about it being in the future talks about there being like mutants and stuff like that.
And like slithering things.
Yeah, and so that's the world that we're dealing with.
Yeah, you just sort of have to accept that there's a bunch of unknown creatures.
Which is cool. I'm totally in.
I dig that too.
And then after that whole scene, then we get this ginormous vampire.
He is
very imposing.
Gigantor. It's an actual giant.
Yeah, and his name's Count Lee.
Yes, Count.
He's got these really cool red eyes.
Magnus Lee.
Yeah, and she tries to shoot him right away because she's like a badass. I mean, I love this about her.
She's no,
like,
nonsense.
No nonsense. She's going to shoot that thing.
She wants to run her farm and not have mutants and vampires.
So she shoots it. It does nothing.
Yeah, he just like it glances off of him.
He introduces himself. He's got this cool kind of classic vampire mm-hmm. voice. And then,
oh, we should mention that as the werewolf came by, it like used its toenail to snag her cross necklace.
Oh, right. And he says, I want your help. I'm going to use your help. And then after that, that's when the title card of Vampire mm-hmm. Hunter D starts. And what a beautiful opening scene. I mean, that was perfect for as far as like an opening section of a film. Prior to the title card of the movie, you have girl running through mm-hmm. a field, this werewolf come take a horse away, a vampire appear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the horror synth soundtrack, that was awesome. I was so
Yeah, it's
in.
Great.
It was great.
It's super great.
It moves so well.
Yep. And then after we get through the titles, we enter like a barren landscape.
Yeah.
It's great art.
It's post-apocalyptic kind of.
Yeah, it's great art. It gives you kind of a view of how dead everything is. And we see a cloaked figure who appears. They're riding on horseback. They have long flowing hair. And you don't really get a good view of this character. It's like a hat with sharp points, a collar with sharp points. But
he's got a sword. He's long hair. He's real cool looking.
Yeah, super cool. Yeah. If you saw him walking down the street, you'd be like, I'm not cool enough to talk to this person straight up. However, there's a woman in the road, and she's like ready. She's
she
armed,
does not care at all.
And she's like, are you a hunter for hire? And then he doesn't reply, so she's like, well, never mind, I'm going to attack him. And she does. But he easily breaks free and continues on. And then she's like, oh, never mind, don't go. Will you please fight for me? You're clearly a vampire hunter.
Yeah, I noticed at the beginning there's a lot of like shit talking from her. She's mm-hmm. like, oh, well, blah, blah, you're not even anybody. I can take you down. And then
she's trying to rile him up.
Yeah, and then he's like, whatever, and just completely walks past her.
Too cool for school.
Way too cool for
school. He could not go to school. They would be like, sorry, bud.
No.
Too cool.
Too cool for a GED.
Oh.
That's how cool he is.
Okay.
Not only is he too cool for school, he's too cool for GED. He's just cool.
And he goes to preschool, and they're like,
he's like,
nope,
get out of here. You're way too cool.
Go to daycare. No.
Daddy daycare.
Okay.
Still too cool for daddy daycare. And so then she realizes he's like a vampire hunter.
He's like the real deal.
Yeah, and she wants to hire him.
Yep, and she entices him by showing him that she's been bitten by Magnus, the Count, Magnus Lee.
Right.
And this is also where we learn her name is Doris.
Yeah, I loved that. I like that, flashing forward, but his name's Dee and hers is Doris, and I thought that was really funny.
That's cute. It's like how my great-grandparents are named Red and Rose. That's great. Perfect.
Yeah, it is great.
Okay.
I also like how she was taunting him with, like, you're just a coward. Mm-hmm. It was really funny.
Yeah, she's salty.
There is a interesting, awkward scene, but actually comes into play later in the film, which I like because it's a reoccurring thing, which she says, I don't have any money. Like, she's pretty desperate because she realizes mm-hmm. what's going on. There's this vampire now hunting around her area. She says, I don't have any money, but you can sleep with me if you need to. Not those words, but she's basically saying this is my only means of hiring you.
Yeah, I'll give
you.
Myself.
And I like this because it's not a shock that the settings would be that. Like, this is my only way of getting you to come work for me because you're clearly a hunter. But I like that throughout the film, it just never comes to fruition. Like, that's not his point
it's
of
not
anything.
His agenda
yeah
no.
And I like that because in any other film this would have been like the perfect reason to show some sort of scene like that, and it I was waiting because I couldn't quite remember that in the film because I never picked up on that line until I was taking notes this time.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't remember that.
I don't
but I like
that,
that by the end of the film it just never came into play, and I thought that was telling of his character, and I thought that was cool.
Yes, I agree. And so she has not through her body, but through her, I think probably the neck bite, enticed the vampire hunter to come back with her. And we find out that she and her brother, Dan, have basically a small farm outside of a small town. And so he comes in, meets her brother, Dan, and Dan's like, you're a good person, I can tell, even though the vampire hunter has said nothing. And then the whole crew goes into town, where they meet a blonde guy who sort of reminded me of Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Interesting. I described him as an arrogant dandy.
Yeah.
With a Spanish accent.
No one drinks like Gaston. It's like, it's all that. So his name's actually Greco.
Yeah,
not
Greco.
Gaston.
Can I back up real quick before you keep moving? Because there's one thing about her brother. First off, it's a British woman's voice, and it's hilarious because...
Is it British?
Something, but it's definitely not...
I don't make note of an accent.
It sounds like a grown British woman trying to do a little kid voice.
Oh, for Dan?
For the boy, yeah.
Yeah, it's clearly a woman's voice.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
And also, I like that he is like this punk kid hunting tiger sheep, I think is what are
No. He's got sheep, but the there's like weird snake creatures that are trying to eat the sheep.
No, but the sheep have tiger stripes. Did you not see that?
No.
They're mutant sheep.
No, when he shoots it, it looks stripey.
I don't think so. It's really funny because I think, because I just wrote down, are they tiger sheep? Because they're running around and then he shoots them. So I thought they were like mutant sheep.
I don't know.
I do love that he has a grown woman's voice as a little kid.
Yeah. It's like, hey, my name's Dan.
Yeah.
I'm a boy.
Perfect. Because you're a grown woman.
Yes. That's why I did it.
It sounds so similar. Can you give it a slight more British accent?
My name's Dan. I'm a boy and I shoot at sheep
Okay.
creatures.
Now try and hide the accent.
My name is Dan, and I
shoot
sheep. I'm a boy.
Spot on.
Thank you.
Okay, so Greco. Greco is an arrogant jerk who wants her.
Yeah, he like kind of corners her in an alley, her being Doris. He tries to offer her help because he knows the Count's messing with her. But also he's like, I'm helping you, but basically I'm going to force myself on you. But she will have none of his baloney. She says, no, sir, I am not interested in Gaston types.
She beats him up. It's so great.
Yeah, she kicks his butt, uses her whips, and then he hops up and
He outs her.
It's yeah, he's like, so she's light. Been bitten.
He just spills the beans to anybody and everybody yeah. who will listen.
Yeah, he's wounded emotionally and lashes physically. Out.
Yep. And it causes quite a stir. So the mayor, who has a major unibrow, it's like this white... Did you notice it? It's a white unibrow that matches his white mustache.
Oh, it did, yeah.
It's like two strips.
Lovely.
It's like a double rainbow. Double rainbow. So it's a double white rainbow on his face. And
it's so beautiful. It's a double rainbow.
He wants to send her to an internment camp, apparently. And there's this scientist who tells a story.
A confinement camp is what they call it.
Oh, okay. The scientist is like, we can't do that. You know the history there.
31
years. People died. And
years prior, 31 people were killed.
Yeah, so we can't go there. And there's this whole backstory, but I thought it was funny.
The backstory was that Count Magnus Lee had bitten another woman years prior, and then they sent her to this same confinement mm-hmm. camp, and in retaliation, he had killed 31 people. So they're like, that's a poor plan there, Mayor.
Yeah.
And that's valid.
And then we flash forward. There's some nice little development, character development here with Dee. So our main vampire hunter, if you didn't put that together with the name of the movie, Vampire Hunter
Dee.
So Dee doesn't say much, but he seems like a nice guy. And there's this great scene where... the brother, Dan, is sad, and he's telling him, like, it's okay to cry. And I liked that. I liked that not only was he going against the kind of stereotype, and this is 1985 or something mm-hmm. like this. Not only is he going against the, like, macho stereotype, he's a vampire hunter, but he's comforting this little boy saying, it's okay to be sad, like, feel your emotions. Mm-hmm.
But then he also is like, grow up now.
Yeah, but I liked that. I thought it was a good little scene.
He did allow
and
him
it
to
was
feel
telling
his
of
feelings.
His character that like maybe he's not this bad character.
Yeah.
He's just quiet. He's very reflective and mm-hmm.
Not eager to engage.
Yeah. And then I also noticed that his voice sounds so much like the guy who did He-Man.
Oh.
But it's not. He's very
It is.
Because he gives this whole... You know at the end of every He-Man episode how they would do like... Well, they would do the more you know, here's the lesson of the day. He gives Dan this whole talk in the mm-hmm. He-Man voice. And then at the end, he said, that's what growing up is all about.
It's
and it's
true.
All in He-Man voice. And I'm like, wait, I'm confused. Are we watching? Like, I'm waiting to spot that little character that you're supposed to find in every episode.
I think that's She-Ra, isn't it?
Is it She-Ra?
Yeah, where you find the blue-haired kid.
No, it's the little flappy alien with the big ears.
Oh, what was his name? Oh,
they must do it in both.
Yeah,
because you were
a
She-Ra watcher.
Derp. Okay, so he says to Dan, cool to cry, but also grow up now.
Sure.
Because you gots to deal. So then they go home, and we learn that the vampire hunter speaks to what I thought was at first a sword, and then I was reminded, it's not his sword, it's his hand. And his hand is crazy judgmental and sarcastic.
Dude, I just wrote he's busting his balls constantly.
Yeah,
he
the hand's
like
a jerk.
On him.
Yes,
he
and
is so mean.
You know what I noticed? Previously, I had accepted the hand as a chatty Cathy. The hand is never explained.
No, it's kind of pointless.
Yes.
The whole time.
Okay.
I thought that too.
Okay, so his hand is judgy. And then we learn that the next night is the sanguine moon or the blood moon. And the vampire hunter's like, well, tomorrow's the blood moon. So the Magnus Lee's going to come tonight probably.
Yep.
And so... that's like, so tonight is the showdown. And she's like, well, what? He touches Doris with his weird face hand and she falls asleep. And so the vampire hunter can like get to it. He's going to go down to business and fight. And then we have two vampire minions. They're like kind of punky. Like one's like a Egyptian style punk, and one's like a 80s street gutter punk.
They're like cyberpunks. They were introduced early on in the film, but yeah, we're seeing them again now for the first time.
So,
or for the second
time. Yeah. So the vampire hunter D stabs, but is stabbed, but magically heals, and then we learn that is it a vampire or a vampine?
I didn't look it up, but there's like a word they use that means like half breed.
Yeah. So, part person, part vampire. And that basically these two punk vampires take turns attacking him. And he sends them back to the count, like to tell the count what's what. He's like, Guess what, guys? Go tell Magnus Lee that I'm here and I'm about to serve him and he can't have Doris. And then we learn that the female vampire of these two vampire punks doesn't want Doris to join their weird vampire cult, because she goes and blabs to Count Magnus Lee, and she's like a super vampire snob. She's like, she's not a pureblood, blah.
Oh, yeah. She's really elitist.
She's just an elitist, like, I'm going to have my mom pay my way into Harvard and
Vampire Harvard.
Yeah. Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The music is really cool during here, too. I made a note that the soundtrack, it's great. I want to track it down. I've never really thought about it, but this whole scene...
what was happening?
It's just got this real cool tone. It's a mix between, like, classic anime score and then, like, this horror score. And it's dark, because this was also billed as, like, the first horror animation.
So, was it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Also, speaking of first, so there's a question I have, but I don't know the answer to. Is the hand with the screaming mouth, it's like the Santa Cruz screaming hand logo from all the skateboards. You know that logo that's on the bottom of Santa Cruz skateboards, like a blue hand with a mouth? That came out in 85, I think. And this movie came out in 85.
You know what else came out after this movie? The movie with Tom Hanks and the volleyball Wilson.
You know what else came out?
What?
The Addams Family movie adaptation after the series.
All Vampire All Hunter Hands. Movie. Yep. You know what I have at the ends of my arms?
Hands. Okay, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Okay. So, Vampire Snob, blah, blah, blah. Vampire Hunter rides to the castle.
Yeah.
He's going for it. After it. So then there's all kinds of crazy monsters. He tries to go in, like, the back way, essentially.
Yeah.
There's just a bunch of, like, crazy monsters chilling. Some of them attack.
Well, he's got this medallion around him, or, like, on his belt or something like that. And they're all like, and they, like, back off.
Yeah.
Except for a couple hotheads that are like, oh, I don't care.
Like the toenails guy.
Yeah, I'm going to fight you. Yep. And I like that. I love this about all anime, or the characters are great.
Oh, yeah. They're all so weird and creative.
Yeah, so they try and attack him. He fights him back.
Yeah, and then his hand is like, you know, you're walking into a trap.
Yeah, Captain Obvious should be the name of his hand.
Yeah, I know, right?
So annoying.
So he's like, durr.
I would have cut that thing off so fast.
I know.
I would have been like Evil Deading it. I just would have been like, no.
It would just keep
crawling
back.
I cannot take
back.
Your BS constantly nagging on me.
Here it comes.
Telling me the obvious. Get away.
Yeah, absolutely. So... after the hand mansplains to him about the trap, he's bitten by a ghost wolf and punches through a wall.
Yeah, it's great. All of this is great.
Yes. And then there's a punk and some weird witch on the other side of the wall. And basically, Vampire Hunter D falls down into the catacombs. And it's here that he finds some sexy harp babes who make really deep eye contact and have lots of hair.
Yeah, so what happens is there's actually a scene right before that, before he falls down into the underground. There's these skeletons and they like crumble, and the animation.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Man, it's so good. I mean, this is really, really amazing animation. As far as just watching an animated film.
I can see where this was pivotal.
Oh,
yes.
It's beautiful to watch. And then I guess also the castle sits on the grounds of a battle that happened 10,000 years ago. They allude to that. So it's like ancient, like holy ground.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he goes under there and he finds the three kind of classic Bram Stoker style, like
It's more like the Three Fates, honestly.
Well, they're like sexy sirens. They're called the Three Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're snake women.
Yes. Actually, I would like to take right now as an opportunity to recommend to our listeners something that is not from the 80s. It's about a decade before. But if you have seen this and like it, I feel like you really should, if you haven't already, watch Belladonna of Sadness. It is. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you're wasting your life. Go watch it now. Quit.
Yeah, as far
well,
as
well, listen to this, then go watch Belladonna of Sadness. But I felt a lot of that in this. Like, they're very different films, but I felt that influence for
sure. I felt like if you could mix Vampire Hunter D with, do you remember Baba Yaga?
Durr.
If you mix those two, you'd get Belladonna, because it's like this sexy kind of music video kind of feel, where it's like a dream sequence, yeah, but then it's also based in like horror.
But also super feminist.
I wish we could cover Belladonna.
We should. Okay.
We should do a Patreon, like, oh, if like we a ever time start travel? A Patreon, yeah, time travel to that.
Okay, so he's fallen down this to the Three Sisters. They transform into a three-headed snake monster. Meanwhile, Doris has woken up from whenever the like hand put her to sleep, and she's attacked by monsters, and they bring her to the Count's house.
Yeah, I do have a note before that, though, right? When she wakes up, there's some guy in the room. It's like a doctor or something.
It's the doctor, yes.
He's really trying to convince her that she's in love with D.
Yes.
He's like, you love her. Or you love him. Love you him. Love him.
And You've I'm
like,
met him
dude,
five times.
Off. They just met.
You have exchanged 24 yeah. sentences.
Yeah, and then the mutant hipsters attack her. And she says if they hurt her...
She'll bite off her tongue, right?
If they hurt her brother, yeah, she'll bite off her tongue and bleed to death. And I thought, wow.
Is there even an artery in your tongue?
I don't know, but I really love how dramatic it is.
I feel like you wouldn't bleed to death.
Because if I was a mutant vampire attacking her and she said that, I'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Dude, this chick's baggage. I'm going to go somewhere else.
She's trouble.
She's got some
That's
issues.
That's exactly what works yeah. for her. They're like, never mind, and yeah. take her to the Count.
But Count Lee taunts her.
Yeah.
He's really smug in this whole
he's
scene, too.
He's a turd.
He's really arrogant. Like,
he's a
like,
rascal.
Yeah, I'm the Count. I've got
I'm
it all figured out.
I'm 90 bajillion years old. And then he puts her to sleep. I feel like that's every man's solution for Doris. They're like, oh, I'm just going to put her to sleep. She's a handful. She has her own ideas.
Anytime they show any kind of personality or objection, think about Big Trouble in Little China, how he's like...
Yeah.
I'm just going to put you guys to sleep under trance because you are way too much trouble when you're awake.
Definitely written by man.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they put her. He puts her to sleep. Also, this is where we learn he plans to marry her.
Oh, yeah. And Dee at the same time is having his life force drained by the Snake Sisters.
Yeah, back at the Snake Sisters. Yeah. And the Count has been like, he's really doing his job.
He's a strong dude. And then Dee finally is like, you know what? It's been fun. It's been real, but I'm out. And he butchers the snakes.
Yeah,
I love this
his
scene.
Eyes turn blue.
Yeah, and he
and he grows teeth.
Full on, he goes vampire, which is a kind of theme in this too, mm-hmm. where he's struggling between the human vampire world. But when he goes vampire on them, he just like demolishes them, and it's funny. There's just like snake parts flying everywhere.
Yeah, it's a really good scene.
It's so great.
And then the vampire girl, like the one that was kind of a Egyptian-y punk type.
The daughter.
Yes, she is the daughter of Count Magnus Lee. I'm not quite sure when we learned
this. I called her a forehead because she had the
largest forehead. She has the baby doll bangs. That's the problem.
And it's called the forehead.
Well, it's called a five head. I'm not making this up. It's an actual term that people use.
Is there such thing as a six head? I'm going to hit...
17 head. Anyway, so she approaches Doris and plans to kill her, but Vampire Hunter D intervenes and he runs off with Doris. Along the way, he fights some monsters, Hand Face eats some spiders, and then they escape. They get back home. Vampire Hunter D fixes the barricade, and everything's cool for now.
Though during that whole scene, the mutant deaths are awesome.
They're so good. I know. I'm like blasting or plowing by them.
Not plowing.
Blousting.
There's a scene where one of the mutants is like a giant.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what happens. He cuts off his arm.
There are some appendages.
And then
lost.
There's this explosion.
Yep.
And there's this scene where there's this blood everywhere, and the other mutant has to walk through the blood.
Yeah.
And I loved that this was animation. Like, how
that
awesome
had to, be
to
fun.
Animate this. It was so amazing. Yeah. That whole scene when he was leaving the castle was
It was
fantastic.
Great.
But Doris is safe now.
Yep.
And then we get to a town scene where we meet Greco again.
Back to Greco.
And he's really playing up the tough guy attitude.
Well, he's wounded. His masculinity is, very closely guarded. And Doris put it through the ringer. So now, obviously, the next step is to eavesdrop on the punk vampire guy receiving a paralyzing candle.
Yes. It's like a candle that when you light it, it makes vampires
paralyzed.
Weak.
Yeah. Basically.
And so he's seeing this and he's like,
making note, jotting it down. And then next scene, brother Dan is kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then then we go to another scene where Dee cuts off the hand of that punk.
And you know what's cool too about Dee? So this is interesting because I didn't know that you had seen the release with different voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I said kind of sounds like He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, is that the guy who did He-Man?
Yeah.
And I looked it up and it's not, but this guy has like 400 credits.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you some of the
Please.
Yeah, it was amazing. This guy has been the voice in things like Akira, Neo Tokyo, Wicked City, G.I. Joe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Cowboy Bebop. Like, it just goes on. And then I was like, well, what about the female, Doris?
Doris. I looked her up too, yeah.
Everything. All of them. I started looking them up and I was like, I can't even get into this. They've all been
in everything.
In like, they all have like 400 credits to their name. And it is amazing. So cool. Like, what a legacy to be this dude or that woman or even the guy Lee. He's got a billion credits, too. And to say, like, well, what have you done with your career? And
everything.
Basically, turds. Like, the canon of anime, like, cult anime. He's been in everything. And I love it. I thought that was amazing.
Hey,
like, gold standard.
Off subject, but when it was Demon City Shinjuku?
Demon City was 82. No, I think it was 80s.
Yay! Let's do that later.
Because I wanted to do Wicked City for sure. But I also want to do Neo Tokyo too. So we need to look into all that.
We got time. We got all the time in the world.
There's definitely some good ones that we'll get into.
Okay, so after the vampire hunter cuts the hand off of the punk, who's sort of Billy Idol-esque, if we really want to.
Yes, like, yeah, definitely.
Then we go to the doctor who comes over to Doris's house and he leads her to a safe house. He's like, let's go. I'm going to take you to a safe place. But along the way, the Count's daughter intercepts their little escape. And this is also where the doctor kind of turns a corner. And he exposes Doris's breasts and reveals that he has been turned into apparently a pervy vampire. He's like, I thought of you as a daughter until I was a vampire. Now I'm terrible. And then...
Is this where Greco takes the candle?
Almost. So the doctor is basically killed right away. And he's like, sorry, I was a vampire. Forgive me.
Yeah, that was a weird scene.
Yeah, it was
kind of cool, too, at the same time, because it was like him struggling with being converted into this creature.
Yeah, but it was pretty unnecessary in general. But Doris and the vampire's daughter start to come up with an escape plan. Like, they kind of collaborate here because neither of them want her to be a vampire.
Right.
And then Greco, who's so helpful, comes along, but he's stolen the paralyzing candle that he was eavesdropping about. And he paralyzes Count Lee's daughter. This upsets Doris. And he's trying to kill her. Doris protects her. And then Dan shows up. And then the three of them go, let's go to the castle, obviously. The next logical thing is go to the place filled with monsters.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also wrote that, is this the scene where Doris takes a shower?
Then, no, they say they're going to go to the castle, and then it goes to back at their home, Doris takes a shower.
Because, by the way, I have so many notes about the forehead size of everybody.
Oh.
But
what?
Well, because Doris and the other, the vampire girl, they, they have such huge foreheads. Mm-hmm. But then Doris takes a shower.
Yes, a necessary scene for the plot.
But she looks so much better because her hair is down after that and her like bangs are down. And all I could think is like, oh, she looks great because her forehead is not like 3/4 of her entire skull.
Okay. Then Doris tries to get Dee to escape with her. Apparently, at some point, they've fallen in love. So they're all back at Doris's house.
You know what? It's an emotional time. They've gone through some trauma.
Heightened feelings.
She throws herself at him, and he starts to fang out on her.
Fang out. I like it. Yeah, so there's like this moment. She's out of the shower. She's looking sexy. I guess there's less forehead. And she's like, let's do this. But yeah. Dee's like, actually, here are my long teeth. And she says, you know what? Go for it. But he pushes her away.
This is what, so this is gets back to the earlier point is in most Japanimation, like adult Japanimation, this would have been like an easy scene. And I love that he was like, no. And he just fought it back. And
I think that's why this is successful.
It's
like
so great,
mainstream.
Though. But it's also like, it's very developed as far as a character because now I'm starting to say like, oh, this is fighting what he's like.
Yeah,
he's got a bigger issue because he does. This whole story, the thing is completely built around his larger like
narrative. Yeah,
this is not about her. It's not about any of this nonsense. He's got a bigger issue.
Well, he does love her, I guess, after they've shared a total of 42 sentences.
He cares for her, but he doesn't love her. I mean,
but
based on the ending.
So he pushes her away, and then somehow she's just naked at this point.
Yeah, she says, I love you.
And she says, I love you, yeah.
And he does the Han Solo.
I was going to mention that, and I thought you'd be so proud of me that I recognized that
what
it was from
Han
Star
Solo
Wars.
Say?
I know.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And then Greco, we go back down to him, and it's a Greco and the punk guy showdown.
Yeah.
The punk guy paralyzes Dee and then stabs him.
Oh, he puts like a stake into him.
And
I mean,
cuts
like,
off his hand.
Yeah.
It's like a hand for a hand.
Because
yeah, remember, he'd cut off Dee's hand. I mean, Greco, who even cares? Why is he there? He's gone.
And it basically, this was pretty intense because Dee was taken down. He got the light shown on him.
Yeah, it's like he's dead.
Hand gets cut off, but then the hand pulls this like Addams Family.
Mm-hmm.
And starts
crawling back.
That's so great. And then connects. By the way, this is unrelated. Well, kind of related, I guess.
Semi.
Do you remember the first time you saw Addams Family, the movie, and how awesome the hand was?
So cool.
What was it called? It wasn't Thing, was it?
Yeah, the Thing, because there's Cousin It with
Cousin
the hair.
Oh, Cousin It, yeah.
And then Thing with the hand.
The Thing was so cool.
Should we name our next pet Thing?
I don't know. Okay. Probably not.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, we had a name for our next pet.
Well, which is unfortunate because we're about to get a new pet who's coming from China with a name that's already lovely, so we can't change it.
What was going to be our next pet's name? We had a name.
Barbara.
No. It doesn't matter. We forgot it already, but it was
great. Barbara.
It's definitely not Barbara.
Barbara Bush.
Gross. Okay, so the hand pulls together.
Yes, and then
starts to reform.
Crawls back. And then we get, like cut to the vampire's daughter, and she's like, again, discouraging this marriage. Like, all this, you can't marry a human, blah, blah, blah. And that's when Count Magnus Lee's like, actually, shut up. You're a half-breed, too.
Oh,
and remember, she's a super vamp snob. So she is very displeased.
It's like she took a 23andMe and found out
disappointing results. She thought she was
like,
French
no.
and found out she's like full American garbage. So she learns she's not of royal lineage. And then the punk guy, Billy Idol vampire, comes up and asks to be made royal, like to be brought into.
Because he's been like earning his keep.
Yeah, he wants his comeuppance.
Somehow I knew you were going to use that term.
Comeuppance. You know what I associate that word with is Macklemore. I feel like he sings about that in the thrift store song.
Wow.
There you Why go. Do I know that?
Pop culture.
Nobody judge.
You heard it here first.
Actually, everybody judge. Okay, so then, what do we skip to? Birdie Bug. Punk. Oh, he gets a hard diss from the punk guy, Billy Idol. Count Magnus Lee's like, that's a firm no, maybe in 50 or 60 years. And the punk, apparently, who is immortal, is like, that's it. I've had it.
Yeah, it's kind of like Jack on the Titanic.
Yeah.
Sitting down with the rich, eating, yeah. And then them being like, you're not one of us.
Yeah, he's displeased.
Yeah.
And he blows up the Titanic, and the movie's over.
Yeah. That's how the Titanic ended, was mm-hmm. Jack set explosives.
Okay, so then this is when the creep hand reattaches itself, and the hand eats a whole bunch of dirt at this point and inhales deeply.
A lot of dirt eating.
I don't understand. Unexplained. And then a mist monster approaches, and the hand wakes up just in the nick of time.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go?
There's flashed a wedding preparation.
Oh, yeah. Vampire wedding.
And the brother's trying to hit the count with a stick and fails. He throws a stick at him. It's so funny.
Oh, that's cute.
And then, but the mutant now, like the hipster mutant guy, Billy Idol, has changed his mind. And he's like, you know what? Screw this guy because I did all this for him. And so he decides to kind of help the kid in a way. Because he's pissed.
Yeah, he's like, okay, I'll help the underdog, Dan.
Yeah,
little,
and he
little
pulls
baby
out
Dan.
The candle on the count, which was like, please.
Yeah.
The count gave him the candle.
The count's like, I'm 10 quadrillion years old. The candle's made from my lard.
Yeah, it does not work out well for that guy. And he explodes his head. This scene is so amazing.
Does he say ow as he's dying?
I don't remember, but I just know that the animation on it is like the count just explodes his head. It is incredible.
Yes, it's great.
Oh,
and then Doris is doing nothing because she's in some sort of a weird trance. There's like vampire monster chanting. And then we go, after the head exploding scene, we go back to the wedding, obviously.
Yeah, and Dee arrives. He's ready to mix things up. He's going to take down the count.
Yeah, because the count goes in for the final like neck suck and gets his eyeball stabbed.
Dee throws a dagger into his actual eyeball. He pulls it out and then pushes his eye back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like totally cool.
It is pretty
it's
cool.
So great.
It's like it sucks itself back
yeah.
in. It's
and
like
then there's a
reassembling.
Massive fight scene. There's a lot of like eye lasers from the count.
Yeah.
Dee turns on the vamp.
Yeah, he turns on his blue eye lasers, too.
Like, all I could think, I don't know about you,
mm-hmm.
all I could think here is the end of Lost Boys when Michael and David are
Ooh.
Fighting. And you know how Michael is like, I'm not going to be a vampire. But then he's like, I will be a vampire. Converts and then has an epic battle.
Mm-hmm.
That's this.
Wishy-washy,
yeah.
Finally committing. Yeah, so Dee gets his blue eye lasers and he's killing the count. And then Doris comes up, and what is she about to do?
She's going to stab Dee because what happens is...
Oh, yeah, because she's
Dee
been...
Dee, like, pins the count to the wall upside
yeah.
down. He's, like, bleeding out over the wall.
Yeah.
And then the count has, like, mind control...
Over Doris.
Commands Doris to go stab Dee, but it doesn't work. And then his mm-hmm. daughter, he's like, you do it. And the daughter turns on him. And says, the House of Lee must fall.
Yes.
And she's like, no, because she is pissed about her 23andMe
yeah.
result.
She's like, I'm a half-breed.
This is not what my family told
What's
me I
the
was.
Point?
And she's not going to have it.
Yes.
And then we get the big, big reveal. right?
Yes. Vampire Hunter D is for baby Dracula.
Yeah,
D stands for Dracula. So Dracula is his father, and it is revealed to Count Morgan Le right before he dies. So we learn that Vampire Hunter D is like the real deal.
Yeah.
He is like vampire royalty.
He is the
son,
right? He's not Dracula.
Dracula's son, yes.
Okay,
so
I
he's halvesies.
Sure, I caught that real fast.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
Dracula apparently had a lady partner who,
sure,
with whom he sired a son, also known as VHD in my notes, Vampire Hunter D.
VHD, I like it.
Yeah, it's written in my notes.
So D, Doris, and brother take it down. They leave. Castle is like crumbling because this is the end. Like,
yeah, and then the daughter, Morgan Lee's daughter, is invited to come along. And she's like,
no way can I live with
myself. What's the point? I'm not royal blood.
Yeah, I thought I was 2% Italian and I'm not.
Going down with a ship.
Yeah. So very cool artsy fartsy visuals right here, by the way. The animation is over the top. And then we get this end sequence.
Hold on. I want to one more note about the daughter. I actually, in my notes, wrote death by snobbery.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the castle crumbles, and it's basically a psychedelic scene. Do you want to describe
it? Yeah, it's like really, well, it's cool, like, flashes through time and everything.
Like the moon in its cycle.
This is where, when you were talking about Belladonna of Sadness, it's that style, like, it becomes very artsy.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like art house cinema. You could see it in a theater.
Yeah.
Sweeping scenery. But then D, at the end, does not stay. He's like, adios. And
well, he can't. How can he fit in a human world?
But they're like on a cliff, Doris and Dan going, bye, thanks
like
for everything.
We also see that the landscape's all green and alive now, where it had been barren and desolate prior to Vampire Hunter D's return or entrance.
And that's the end of the film. And it is, it's a great, solid little piece.
Yeah.
I do have a fun fact that I was going to tell you earlier and I forgot.
Tell it.
Count Lee is an homage to Christopher Lee because he played Dracula.
I like it.
And then the other thing I forgot to discuss earlier was the composer, whose name is
Jordan Forgelsberg.
It's close.
Garden
Tatsuya Kimura.
Oh.
Do you want to know what else he composed?
Yes.
Take a guess.
Perfect Blue.
No.
Lane.
No.
Lane, Big
I
Trouble
watch
in
that in forever.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Closer. You ready?
Nope. Hold on. Last Action Hero.
Closer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Babysitter's Club.
Further. Cold.
Okay, what?
Speed 2.
Oh. I might have actually guessed that if we had kept this up for a while.
I kind of like the odds of you throwing Speed 2 out is very high.
I was on 2s and then I went with Babysitter Club.
So you did Vampire Hunter D and Speed 2.
Okay.
There you go.
Wow.
Talk about range.
Wow. Okay. The 5 degrees of Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Not Kevin Bacon. He's out. Sandra Bullock now.
What did you think of this film?
I thought the hand made no sense. I had previously accepted it. And as I was watching, I was like, are we getting a hand explanation? Why did the hand eat dirt? Why?
Yeah,
was it
what is the point of the hand, I guess, is my bigger
question.
Point. I thought that, too. I've always accepted it as, like, cool. Vampire Hunter D's got a hand that talks.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, when I'm, like, taking notes and being critical, that was my only criticism, was, like, the hand plays zero part in this whole story.
And honestly,
unless I'm missing something major.
Having a hand with a face on it would be a real disadvantage. Like, you'd have company, for sure. But, like, imagine having to wipe. Or eating your food, getting a drink.
He's like, oh, you know, I would have done this anyway. I'd be like, hold on. And I'd just shove toilet paper in his mouth and wipe my butt.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, you were saying?
What? Hand face?
Keep talking.
Eat some dirt.
Dude, he is so sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my only real criticism of this whole thing. But overall, it really is, as far as anime goes, a masterpiece. I mean, it's beautiful. It's done so well. The score, the story is really solid, and the animation is just beautiful.
I mean, I would have liked a stronger female character because the women were all kind of...
Doris is pretty damn strong,
but she's, like, easily manipulated. She's instantly in love.
She's under the spell of an ancient vampire, too.
Sure, and she also apparently doesn't wear pants. I mean...
Why would you?
I mean, if she's not going to wear pants, nobody else should either.
Yeah.
They're objectifying her, so don't like that.
Okay.
What?
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like, I think in the future, clothes are optional.
I mean, if we're all going to go cash, that's fine. Yeah. But to just choose one gender to only
the cyberpunk never has a shirt on. And I'm like, nobody is wearing shirt or clothes, like, fully clothed ever. Except for D. He's always got this really immaculate
and
outfit.
The Magnus Lee.
Oh, yeah. The Count's really cool.
Yeah, and okay, whatever. I don't think we need to list off which characters were close.
No, let's talk about costumes. No, so I love the film. I thought it was great. I'm glad we rewatched it. I was a little afraid. I always get a little nervous when we do these that I'm like, oh, I love this when I last saw it.
It could be ruined.
It could be ruined now that I'm going to be critical while we're doing a podcast.
Well, watching it with 21st century eyes, too, you have to be like, actually, and you're calling them on their things that they did in the 80s without thought.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of that where you're like, oh, you know.
But it's based on a graphic novel, too. So it'd be interesting to read that and see how much it lines up as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard, too. But then at the same time, I want to give it a little bit of a pass and just say overall what they were accomplishing in the 80s as far as the medium goes was pushing it forward.
I fully agree. I do feel like they definitely took a card out of Belladonna of Sadness.
Maybe,
they didn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
I really feel like they do because it was so beautiful, the original. And I felt like there were several scenes in there where I was like, oh, yeah, I see it. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, what I liked... What I've always liked about Vampire Hunter D is that it's more artsy. It's more
exactly.
Cult. It's more it's a work of art.
Yes.
Which is like Miyazaki, like, you know, sure it's put out by Disney later on or whatever, but there's still when
it's
you watch
careful
Spirited
attention
Away
to
or
detail.
Princess Mononoke, they're like artwork though.
Yes.
It's not just a Japanimation.
Well, that's why you like this stuff over cartoons, because you can see the artistry behind it.
Well, they're adult. Animated adult films, and they're really cool.
Sounds wrong.
Well, for an adult audience.
Yes, not adult films.
And I will always put this as one of the top ones. So.
It's really good, yeah.
Well, if you haven't seen it, I just ruined everything, and so did she. But
well, why on earth would you listen to
totally,
this podcast?
I always wonder that,
What's wrong
too.
With you?
But please rewatch it if you haven't, because we used to give a little heads up on what we were doing, and then we found that we could not stick to our episode list. So if you just listen to this, hopefully you're inspired to go watch it. And if you haven't seen it, please do, because I think it's a must see for anybody who's into kind of art house cinema. I would clump this in there. It's really well done.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching.
And that's that. So
done
with this one in
Bye.
The bag.
No,
I'm gonna go eat some dirt with my hand. So
why did you make those sound effects so weird?
Oh, nice one. Yeah, right. If you want to follow us, we're on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify at Laser Graves. You can follow us on Instagram at Laser Graves. I won't mention the guys who just do like
bongs.
Bongs 337.
Bongs 246.
But you know what? We'll accept all followers. It's cool if you
just
like
listen.
It reminds me of, you know, on MySpace when that was a thing and there would always be like the bodybuilder people that would follow you that weren't real accounts.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent is like bong accounts on Instagram.
Yeah, I get a lot of those on Instagram, like, let me help your art career. And it's like, you know, a person with 45 followers. Yeah. I'm like,
okay,
please.
Let me help you. But
anyway,
you can
thanks,
follow us there.
Thanks, bong guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're listening now.
Yeah. Right. We'll do an episode of Half-Baked at some point when we cover the 90s. So you can follow me on Instagram at EK Wimmer.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And that's that. So we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.